This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. This episode was recorded on February 14, 2020. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, UArizona's Hansen Film Institute couldn't present the festival in person this year, but the online catalog will be available at the Tucson Cine Mexico website in October, including some of the amazing films from the TCM 2020 lineup that couldn't be presented on the big screen. Today, I'm with Vicky Westover, director of UArizona's Hansen Film Institute. Welcome, Vicky.
Thank you. Happy to be here, and thanks for your interest in Hansen Film Institute and our signature program, Tucson Cine Mexico.
Tucson Cine Mexico is the longest running festival of contemporary Mexican cinema in the United States, and it's one of only two of its kind in the country. It hosts many filmmakers and actors featured, and it's free. Vicky, please tell us how Tucson came to be so lucky to host a really distinguished film festival.
Well, I guess the story could start back in Baltimore, Maryland, believe it or not, where I was a film programmer for many years, running an organization called the Baltimore Film Forum, which modeled itself after the venerable New York Film Forum. And of course, I was watching as much cinema as I could. And like a lot of people, in 2000, watched Moros Perros and was really sort of, you know, struck by what clearly seemed like, you know, some fresh new talent coming from Mexico. And so programmers were always, you know, looking for what the next new wave might be and how we could program additionally for the community. And maybe it really gelled after Y Tu Mama Tambien, but I began to think that a film festival to showcase contemporary Mexican cinema might be something of worth in the future. And then it happened that I moved to Tucson and got here in 2003, and it seemed so obvious that if there was such a thing as a contemporary Mexican film festival, that it would be in Tucson. So I started putting that idea to paper and fleshing out the concept for it a little bit, and I was looking for community partners who would maybe work with me to produce that. As I said, I was new to Tucson. But then I was lucky enough to get the job to develop and lead the Hansen Film Institute at the University of Arizona, and then that became the obvious vehicle for producing the festival, especially because the way in which the Institute was established over a year-long process to figure out its vision and mission and programs and everything, we did end up saying that it would have a focus on Mexican cinema and indigenous cinema. So then it became the obvious producer of Tucson Cine Mexico.
Vicky, I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but could you tell us about one or two must-see films that will be at the festival this year?
Okay, you're right. It's very hard to pick. But I was thinking about it recently myself because people have been asking me that. And I do think one film not to be missed is called The Guardian of Memory. It is a really extraordinary film that is more visual poetry than it is, you know, what you might consider your standard documentary fare. Very difficult film to watch. In one sense, it's about the devastation of one particular area and town in Chihuahua that is sort of caught between both the government forces that have come to clear out the cartels and the cartels, and citizens of this town are victims of this. And they're being killed by both entities. And then a number of Mexicans are trying to get asylum in the United States. And so the film does focus in some part on this one lawyer who lives in El Paso who's trying to get asylum for these individuals. But again, it's so visually so poetic and beautiful that it's this strange combination of beauty and terror. Directed by a woman, Marcela Arteaga, and it's her second documentary. You know, one of the things about Tucson Cine Mexico is that we do focus on the early works of each new wave of talent coming from Mexico. So we're either showing directorial debuts of filmmakers, or we're showing second or third works by them. It's really nice, I think, for an audience to be introduced to someone and then later see how their work develops.
Mexican film is kind of having a moment. I loved how when you talked about kind of your route for the festival, you mentioned Amores Perros, because that was a film that changed a lot of people's perception of Mexican cinema. Mexican cinema up until that moment had been more recognized for Golden Age films or kind of fun, campy B-movies. And then Amores Perros came onto the scene with Gael García Bernal, and it was a tour de force. It was a gut punch. It was something completely different. And it made a lot of people sit up and say, wait, what's happening with Mexican cinema?
Exactly.
I think that's worth mentioning, too, for people who maybe don't have any knowledge of Mexican cinema. It's there's a huge amount of production, and it's really evolving into pioneering forms.
Exactly. Mexico sort of has been having this moment for maybe, over 10 years. The moment keeps happening. And the Mexican filmmakers are just increasingly becoming more and more important players on the international cinema stage. So, yeah, the moment hasn't ended yet. And now what's really interesting also is that women directors are also coming into their own in Mexico. And so it's really wonderful to see the work of women Mexican directors now after, you know, the famous men that have come, and gotten attention on the national stage.
Vicky, could you tell us a little more about the film selection process and what goes into that?
Sure. So the festival is actually co-directed and co-programmed by me and Carlos Gutierrez, who is the founder and director of an organization in New York called Cinema Tropical, which was the premier distributor of Latin American cinema in the United States for many years, and now it's sort of the premier promoter of Latin American cinema in the United States. And Carlos is a curator of a number of programs and festivals in New York and elsewhere. So we team up. We've been together since pretty much the beginning of Tucson Cinema Mexico. And I had reached out to him to ask him to co-program with me, and then eventually it grew into a co-directorship. But to answer your specific question, so the films are in large part chosen by me and Carlos. We do have a committee that's an amazing group of people made up of folks from both the university and out in the community. And they do contribute to the decision-making process of CineMexico, but it is largely programmed by me and Carlos.
I just want to say that some of the films that come to Tucson CineMexico are also films that you would see at the Sundance Film Festival or at other really prestigious festivals, too. So the caliber and the freshness is world-class. I love how Tucson Cine Mexico meets Mexican audiences where they are with the Harkins 18 screenings. For people who might not know where Harkins 18 is, it's on the south side. It's near Sunnyside, Midvale area, Sonoran Dog Row, La Estrella Bakery. Could you talk to us a little bit more, Vicky, about the venues that are chosen and the importance of them?
Sure, and that is intentional that Harkins Tucson Spectrum in South Tucson is our base, basically. Yeah, so, we feel strongly that we are programming for the community, and it makes sense to take the festival to the community as opposed to requiring people from the community to find us elsewhere. That said, the majority of our films are there. We do have a presence downtown as well. We partner with the Tucson Museum of Art. Yeah, in the early days, Tucson CineMexico wasn't at Harkins. And when we did move it to Harkins, we got some pushback from primarily the Anglo audience, believing that Harkins was so far away. And I had to point out that from, Midtown, it would take them 15, 20 minutes at most to get there, and plenty of free parking. And after a couple of years, the Anglo audience did, realize that it was actually very close. And so we do enjoy this amazingly diverse audience, which is one of the hallmarks of CineMexico. And the thing as a programmer I really, really enjoy, which is when your audience is very diverse. And ours is highly diverse in terms of age, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status. And you don't see that often at film festivals. Being able to watch a film communally with a diverse audience and engaging in the conversation afterwards is another special feature of Tucson Cine Mexico.
I really like how in a previous conversation you mentioned, you will see abuelitas at Tucson Cine Mexico that are not Loft regulars, for example. So it just really tells you that this festival has a way of reaching the community that maybe aren't necessarily festival goers, but they are really excited about seeing this Mexican cinema.
Yes, I did have a young woman tell me that her grandmother asks her to bring her to Tucson Cine Mexico, and she never likes to go out elsewhere, but she'll always come to Tucson Cine Mexico because she feels safe there.
So now that we've set the stage, could you speak a little bit about Access to the Stars, that is the filmmakers and the actors, and how they're a part of the festival?
You know, this year, every single filmmaker that we invited to the festival jumped at the opportunity. So I think that they've come to recognize that it's a really valuable opportunity for them to show their film to an audience and get feedback. The thing is that actually there aren't that many opportunities for Mexican filmmakers in Mexico to show their work. So they really enjoy coming here. The Q&As are, I think, always really interesting. Anybody can ask any question. We run the Q&As in Spanish and English. Some of our filmmakers don't speak English, and so, you know, you can ask your question in Spanish, you can ask your question in English, and then, of course, you know, we translate so everybody can participate in the process. Yeah, and we also put some of the filmmakers into classrooms at the University of Arizona. We've had them talk to, you know, the LGBT Institute students or film and television students, Latin American studies students. So it's an amazing opportunity for those students to have access to those filmmakers. When we can have a public talk, like the one at the Tucson Museum of Art, again, it's an opportunity for people to engage in really meaningful conversation. And these filmmakers are very accessible. You know, they're not, they love to talk to people about their work. So it's very easy to approach any of them. Even after the screenings, they'll stick around and, you know, for a long time in the hallway and talk to anybody.
The festival is free to attend, but it is not free to produce.
And, you know, we are sort of at the limit right now. I mean, this year we were able to expand the number of seats because it breaks my heart to turn people away at the door, which we do have to do every year. So we are using an overflow theater this year, which means everybody can come. And so there's definitely expense involved in that. Bringing up the filmmakers from Mexico, you know, can be an expensive proposition with flights and hotels and food and everything. And so we are so, so grateful to our sponsors. And if you go to our website at TucsonCineMexico.org, you'll see all the wonderful sponsors that we have. And of course, we're always looking for more sponsors so that we can expand the festival.
It is wonderful that the public can still attend this festival for free when this is a festival that actually pays to bring directors and filmmakers. Not all festivals do that. They'll invite people and they have to pay their own way. I think a lot of people don't know that. Harkins also is a great venue, but it's also not free. So I thought it was really remarkable that you had to fight a little bit at some points to make the festival free for the audience. What was the pushback?
There's this theory out there that if you don't charge for something, an arts event in particular, that you're devaluing it and that people will think it's not something that's particularly worthy. And I have never subscribed to that. I just don't think that that's true. Besides, it isn't free. You know, a lot of people are paying for this festival. If you look at our sponsors, you know, we have La Estrella Bakery and various people. So people are paying for this festival. But the whole point is to make something like this accessible to everybody. And as soon as you start charging, it's becoming less accessible for a number of people. So I've always felt really strongly about that. I've also, as a film programmer, always felt strongly that this is my personal philosophy. Everybody has to run their programs the way they can and need to, but I do not charge filmmakers to enter their films. And absolutely, hospitality is one of our hallmarks too, like exceptional hospitality of these filmmakers. We're trying to show them that Tucson is an exceptional place, that the festival is an exceptional film. So we treat them very, very well when they're here. And I think that it's paid off because, you know, I think our reputation among filmmakers in Mexico is spreading.
I love that one of the priorities of the festival is showing excellent hospitality to the filmmakers. And really, for those who have never been to Tucson before, giving them a taste of the best we have to offer. I was just curious about, where are some of your favorite spots to show them the best of Tucson?
Well, you know, we always build in some downtime for the filmmakers or time for them to enjoy something else and ask them what they'd like to do. And some of them do want to go shopping, of course, and Target's very popular for that. But a number of them would like to go hiking, and Sabino Canyon is a place we like to take them for that. And they want to see the museums. It varies for the different filmmakers. They do really like downtown at night, and they stay out quite late going to the bars and restaurants and things like that. So it is an economic boost for the city as well. I mean, you know, not as large as something like El Tour de Tucson or the Gem Show or something, but definitely we are pumping money back into the city with all the hotel stays and the restaurants and various other things.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment. When films are so ubiquitous now and you can stream almost anything from the comfort of your sofa, why are film festivals still a thing?
Yeah, festivals really are still a thing, and you know, in some places actually growing. I like to sit on my couch at home in my cozy clothes and watch films and TV like everybody else. But I think the importance of a film festival is that you watch these films, which A, were meant to be seen on a big screen with exceptional sound and picture, which you can't always deliver in your own home, and meant to be seen communally. And going to see a film and experiencing it, as I said before, but with this really highly diverse audience, it's a very different experience when you're in a room with lots of people watching the same film together. And then, of course, a very different experience when you can talk about the film or hear others talk about the film and hear the perspective of the filmmaker, which is almost always eye-opening. So I think that's the value. So there's a value for the audience. That's the value for the audience. And then there's the value for the filmmaker, which I spoke to a little bit before, which is that, you know, these filmmakers want to have their film shown, and they want to have them shown excellently, projected excellently, but they want feedback from the audience. They didn't make the film for themselves. They made it for others to see. So the festival is a service to both filmmakers and to the audience.
And it is really a magical moment when you've sat through a film and it really moved you, and then the lights come back up and the director of the film walks out in front of you, or one of the stars, a few of the stars walk out in front of you, and you can talk to them and you can meet them. It's just really unique, and it adds something. It creates an added value that is, I just think, so wonderful.
Yeah, and you can also challenge them if you want to. The quality of the conversation is always really interesting and can get fairly deep. I think it's also important sometimes to demystify the filmmaking process. And so having the filmmaker there to talk about these things, I think, also helps.
And it's wonderful for aspiring filmmakers to be able to see filmmakers in the flesh and, oh, that's a human who I can relate to, and I can do this kind of work as well.
Definitely, yeah. Filmmakers definitely learn from listening to other filmmakers about their filmmaking process.
Vicky, one last question. Would you tell us about your trajectory in film, about how you got to this place of directing the Hansen Film Institute and co-directing Tucson Cine Mexico?
I went to art school, and I was an art photographer for a while back east. And then I sort of lucked into this position running the Baltimore Film Forum. Did that for a number of years. And those were the days where, so this was the late 80s and early 90s, when Blockbuster had not yet come onto the scene fully. Cable television only existed, you know, sort of very in a minor way. Turner Movie Classics didn't exist. So if you wanted to see even Hollywood classic film and independent film, you had to go out to see it. So it was an exciting time to be a film programmer, and we really could experiment. The thing about what the work that was being available in those days, it was largely by white men. And so when I became the director of the Baltimore Film Forum, I really set about to find as much work internationally as I could by women and people of color. And so I was able to experiment with all sorts of programming for the community. We did an African-American film festival. We showed a lot of work from Africa. I co-directed the longest-running Russian film festival in the United States for a number of years, which was really interesting because Russian cinema was definitely something that was not available in the United States. And, of course, there's a huge Russian immigrant population in the United States, Baltimore had the second largest after New York. So when we ran an independent film and video makers competition, we ran a Baltimore International Film Festival, we started doing media literacy work in the public school system. So it was an opportunity to experiment and do lots of things. And so when I came to Tucson, I did not at all believe that there was anything for me in film programming or film work. And so it really was a stroke of luck that this institute needed to be developed and that I got that job.
Thank you for speaking with us today, Vicki.
Thank you very much.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. Support for Artist Stories is provided by Benjamin Supply, presenting a full spectrum of hardware and plumbing fixtures for kitchen and bath, and their gallery, Tucson, offering national and local art in both the Tucson Warehouse and Transfer Buildings on 6th Street and 7th Avenue. With products available at will call, they are currently open by phone at 777-7000 and at benjaminsupply.com or gallery2sun.com.